2, and now ESPNU.
Saturday, two of college football's most electric talents clash on ACC Network. The ACC's top rusher leads the Panthers into hostile territory as Malik Cunningham makes his return under the lights at the Bill.
Cunningham, end zone for the touchdown!
ACC Primetime Football, Pittsburgh versus Louisville, Saturday at 8 Eastern on ACCN and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Hey, it's Greeny, and a Football Friday is around the corner. We look ahead to a huge weekend, both college and pro, and of course, smack dab in the middle of the League Championship Series. We're talking about it all with you. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Friday on Barton Hahn, we'll recap the important Thursday night clash between the Saints and the Cardinals, as well as Game 2 of the ALCS. That's Barton Hahn, 12 o'clock Eastern, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to dribble it before he hands it off to Wigginton. Wigginton right back to Thanasis, who takes flight with a big two-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the final horn sounds, we are done with the regular season here in 2022. On to the playoffs.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
A season-opening win for the Bucks. Their defense shines. Giannis shines as well. This could have gone a number of ways, and I saw a lot of Bucks fans obviously excited for the return of the season, but you looked at Philadelphia, their struggles in game one of the season on Tuesday night, the fact that this was going to be their home opener, you would assume they would be extra motivated to win in front of the home crowd, to erase some of that feeling from Tuesday night where they were frankly in the second half embarrassed by the Boston Celtics, and the fact that the Bucks wing, very, very thin, talked about it with Dave Kane. We talked about it on Bucks Weekly on Monday night as well, how the Bucks were going to handle the absence of some of those players, of Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton in the interim here, and long-term, Joe Ingles, who you haven't had a chance to see in a Bucks uniform just yet, so you don't necessarily know what he's going to provide you. You feel like you have an idea, but how the Bucks would move forward for at least the next 2 to 3 weeks? We found out on Sunday, Pat Connaughton, his timeline was 3 weeks. That would put you right around November 6th, early November for a return for Pat. No official word on Chris Middleton, but you think it's going to be around the same time. So how do the Bucks navigate these waters without those two players specifically and with some of these matchups on the horizon? Tonight against Philadelphia, obviously a big one. You've got the Brooklyn Nets coming in next week. But you also have the luxury of some of these upcoming opponents, the Houston Rockets. You think Giannis and Drew Holiday should be enough to get you past the Houston Rockets. But tonight, how many times have we said, for all the struggles that Drew Holiday can endure on the offensive end, when the shot isn't there, the defense is always there, and he steps up in the largest moments. That's what we saw in the final 24 seconds of the game tonight. For all the offensive struggles, for the shot not falling, missing all the three-point attempts that he took, 2 of 15 from the field. It was the defense of Drew Holiday, another signature play, leading the Bucks to this season-opening win in Philadelphia. 855-616-1620. That's the number to get in touch with us here tonight on Bucks Talk, whether you're in Milwaukee and Madison, wherever you're listening, 855-616-1620, the number to join us and weigh in on this big win for the Bucks. These shorthanded Bucks taking down the 76ers, Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics, the three teams really seeing the most shine for in the preseason, as the Eastern Conference favorites, and you pick up a win to open up the season against one of those two teams in that category. Big win for this Bucks team. And the other thing, we touched on what's ahead for the Bucks. You got the Brooklyn Nets next week. It's a Nets team. If we go off of the season opening game, not really sure you can put the Nets in that category, but got a couple of games against the Pistons. A young, frisky Pistons team, but still games you should win. You got the Oklahoma City Thunder on the schedule twice. The San Antonio Spurs are on that schedule. All of that before you play the 76ers again in mid-November. And we mentioned that timeline for Chris Middleton. November 6th-ish, somewhere that week of November 7th, we'll just say, is when you could realistically point to Chris Middleton returning. It's going to keep him out for about 9 games in the regular, or Pat Connaughton, beg your pardon, going to keep him out for about 9 games. Maybe Chris Middleton is in the same boat. So how you get through those 9 games and how the wing position holds up is going to be key for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk in Milwaukee and Madison. And we're going to open up the show here with You Hear Her Work on the Technical Foul podcast. Camille Davis joining us on the line here to recap and get her reaction to this victory tonight for the Bucks. So, Camille, first of all, welcome. And secondly, this game seemed to have everything. So we had the Jrue Holiday play. I mentioned it felt in many ways very similar to what we saw in Game 5 against the Celtics last year. But my big takeaway, and I know it's one game, so we can't have overarching assessments, we spent so much time talking about James Harden and what version of James Harden would the Sixers get this season. 2 games in, he looks fantastic. But if you're Philly, all of a sudden, 2 games in, he's not the guy you have questions about. It's the 2-time runner-up in the MVP in Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I could not agree more with that. It was really interesting watching this game and just seeing how Joel Embiid looked. I'm not sure if it's because James Harden has taken more of a lead role so far this season, because last year we saw, you know, the offense still ran through Joel Embiid for the most part. James Harden was traded there during the season. And it seemed as if this season they're making a concerted effort to get James Harden going. And the question I'm starting to have, again, as you mentioned, it is early, but while watching him play, I'm just wondering, like, at what cost to Joel Embiid does getting James Harden going cost you? He just looked a little lackadaisical out there. But to be fair as well, the Bucks played some really good defense against him. Brooke Lopez put on a masterclass defensively, keeping Joel Embiid in check. The Bucks were able to fluster him throughout the night. And you could see by the end in the fourth quarter, he looked pretty gassed and just kind of lethargic out there on the court, to be honest.
That third quarter was especially key. I mean, you held the Sixers to 18 points. And when we talk about the struggles of Embiid, third quarter was really the biggest problem for him. He essentially played the entire quarter, was 0 of 5, did not score. Brooke Lopez really seemed to stifle him. And it was the second and third quarter where we saw Lopez really stopping Embiid around the basket. He had the block on him, but he seemed to really frustrate Joel Embiid. And this Bucks team was starting to get out and run. It was kind of the inverse of what we saw from the Bucks last year, where Philadelphia, 2 straight games, they've struggled big time in the third quarter. That was the issue for the Bucks a season ago. So to see that cleaned up, certainly ideal. But the way the Bucks started the fourth quarter, very problematic. But they came up with the biggest moments of the game in the final minute.
And that's what you hope to see from championship-contending teams where, I mean, at the end of the day, basketball is truly just a game of runs. You know they're going to come at some point. So it's how can you withstand them, and how can you correct yourself to get back into the game as well? So when the 76ers were going on that crazy fourth quarter run with Embiid on the bench, to your point, the 76ers really took off when James Harden was leading that show there. James Harden was being able to exert his will offensively. He was using his strength to his advantage. It's kind of interesting watching him play now, because last season, you know, you're looking at him and you're like, the quickness is gone. So to see him using more of like a bully style where he's forcing his way to the rim, where he's taking mid-range jumpers. I think he took 7 mid-range jumpers in this game, which is unlike his shot profile, as we know from the Houston days. So to see him come out there, lead that fourth quarter charge, for the 76ers in this different way than what we're used to seeing. It was crazy to see. Like, during that run, the TNT announcers made a comment that the Bucks had 5 turnovers and 7 possessions there when the 76ers were really getting going. Like, the offense was just completely out of rhythm. James or Joel Embiid coming back into the game, all tied up, I believe it was. And next thing you know, it's the game again, and the Bucks are able to make some winning plays down the stretch when it mattered. Grayson Allen, you know, read the defense beautifully when Tobias Harris overhelped on that play there to get West that wide open three at the end. And it's not like Grayson Allen had a great game shooting, but to see him still come up in the end there with a winning play to help the team, that's what you hope to see from a team that you believe can win it all. Like, you have to have that grit to you, that endurance about you, that feeling like, okay, we got to be resilient here. Like, it's not always going to go our way. We might have messed up here, but let's try to get this win on the road and get out of here.
Grayson had some good looks, too. The shot just didn't go down. Mm-hmm. So the offense at least did that and put him in the right spot to create those looks. Mm-hmm. And look, I think you would agree with this. I think we all kind of look to, I'm not going to say the entire first half of the season, but especially this moment where you don't have Chris Middleton. We've talked about how much you think Joe Ingles is going to kind of juice up the offense once you get him on the floor. But, you know, in the meantime, without those two guys, even without Pat Connaughton, it could have some rough patches here, similar to what we saw in that series against the Celtics. And there was moments of that in this game tonight. But you mentioned the medal that this team has. It's a group, by and large, that was there for the championship 2 years ago, and it's been through those moments. That to me, was the biggest difference. There's a Bucks team that knows when they have to make the plays, they can make the plays, and it's a Philadelphia team, similar to the Bucks 2 years ago, is trying to see, can we get to that level?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more with that. And when you're mentioning the offense and, you know, how they were having some hiccups there, too, without Chris Middleton, which, of course, like, you see the final score and it's 90-88. And I was like, oh, we got, like, some, you know, some late 90s scores going on right now. It feels like 98 out here with the way the score is looking. But, again, they're missing one of their top scorers. It's a night where Jrue Holiday went 2-for-15 from the field. Offensively, just couldn't get it going. But defensively, he showed up. As you mentioned, Grayson Allen also wasn't shooting well. So to be able to pull that win together, because we look at the first half and Giannis had it rolling. Like, he finished the first quarter not missing a bucket, 4-for-4 from the field, I believe it was, and just doing his thing here. And then he finishes the game 9-for-16. So as the game goes on and things aren't coming the way they were before, what different ways can you find to win the game, to pull it out? And the Bucks are able to do that. And it's really encouraging to see them do this on the road in Philly, because I heard you mentioning the upcoming schedule. So this is a nice win to try to stack some additional success on top of.
Yeah, that schedule especially, I mean, you it's advantageous early in the season, and I've mentioned it a couple of times. You don't want to get in a spot, especially with the injuries, where you have to win games in the second half to avoid, it's possible, to avoid slipping down past the four line. I mean, this is a rejuvenated Eastern Conference with those mid-tier teams much better this year, so take any win you can get, especially when you're shorthanded, and that's what makes this one even more satisfying tonight. Two guys, we've touched on one of them, but the other we didn't really talk at all about yet, is, to me, watching this game, obviously you had the final play there by Jrue Holiday. You had the overall performance of Giannis, but Javon Carter, the more you see him, and we saw him in the preseason, you saw the game against the Hawks where started, 6-for-6, and the offensive resurgence of Javon Carter. Seeing it now in the regular season, some of that offense, not high volume of scoring, but he was efficient again, 2-of-3, and obviously the defense that he brings. The more you see him, the more I am dumbfounded how this was not a guy deemed good enough for the Nets rotation.
Hey, you know, sometimes it's about that scheme that you're in and what you're emphasizing for your team right there. And I could see how on that Nets team, given the talent that they have over there, how somebody with Javon Carter's skill set might not be seen as super important with the guys who they're trying to give minutes to. I know while he was in Brooklyn, he wasn't shooting the rock the same way that he has been in Milwaukee. And I'm super glad to see that what we saw at the end of last season trickle over into preseason, and now we're seeing it trickle over into the regular season. As you mentioned, on a low volume, but we already knew that Javon Carter was an ace defensively. We knew he was a dog. That's part of why he has his nickname. Like, he'll pick you up 94 feet. He has no fear defensively. So when you add that aspect in with the fact that he's also now knocking down shots at a consistent clip, he had a couple of turnovers early, and I was like, that's not great. But first game on the road in Philly, he did a lot of the right things, and that's what you're looking to see here. And I was really happy to see him start, being able to see him make a contribution tonight. I'm hoping that it's a sign of things to come with Javon Carter, because if you have another guard that's that good defensively and can knock down open shots with the gravity that Giannis will give you, with the gravity that Middleton will when he gets back, what Drew can bring, it's just a valuable piece to have on this team.
You were happy to see him start. Were you surprised to see him start? I was.
I was hoping that was the way they were going. Because during the scrimmage, it was like, you know, the starters, but I'm hoping that is where we're going with Javon Carter starting with Drew in the backcourt.
I was happy as well. I was surprised because I thought, especially, you know, when you look at that 76ers lineup, I thought maybe is this the opportunity where you say, hey, we'll start Jordan Wara. I mean, this is your chance. Or Wesley Matthews. I wasn't so sure about that with him now playing in the preseason and the ankle issue. But it again shows you the confidence they have in Javon Carter. And when we mention how deep this team is, I mean, I felt like all the guys that played tonight, it was the perfect amount of minutes. I mean, George Hill got 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Wesley Matthews, coming back from that injury, got 20 minutes. You saw Serge Ibaka for a little bit. Gave Jordan Wara around 15 minutes. Bobby Portis was the one, I guess, you could have made a case for. I would have liked to see that number be closer to 30, but 23 minutes for Bobby. I mean, you got production from the bench, and this is without Joe Ingles, without Pat Connaughton, and without Chris Middleton.
Exactly, and that's what you hope for, that they can kind of ride this out while these guys are hurt. If you, to be a winning team, you win at home, you beat your bad teams, and you try to get at least half your games on the road. And that sets you up for a lot of success in the NBA if you can try to knock those things off on a consistent basis. And getting this win to open up the season in Philly, especially after Philly's coming off a loss. So yeah, you know they were going to be motivated to try to come into this game, make a statement, another national game, first game at home, and the Bucks were able to withstand that. Even when the game was turning and the crowd was going, like, the whole team just seemed to maintain their composure and make key plays at the right time. And even though shots weren't dropping, they weren't necessarily taking bad shots. It's just that the shots weren't dropping for the Bucks, which is not exactly how I felt about Philly while watching them in this game, where I'm like, no, the Bucks defense is playing really well and they're contesting shots. So it was interesting just to see how that all played out towards the end with the game getting as close as it did once James Harden got cooking. But yeah, the team showed and improved. I was surprised to see Serge at the beginning there, but him only getting about 4 minutes or so makes sense to me. And yeah, I'm happy with this win, and I'm looking forward to seeing them back at home on Saturday against Houston.
Last thing for you, Camille, we mentioned his name in Brook Lopez, but 31 minutes for Brook. Looked like he got a little bit of sun as well, but 17 points, 12 three-point attempts. The defense against Joel Embiid, you don't want to take too much away from 1 out of 82. He was absolutely incredible tonight. And now it's just, we've been through this before. I'm crossing my fingers we see him on Saturday night.
Yeah, we don't want a repeat of last year where, you know, you see Brooke, you're happy, and then you don't see him again for quite some time. But he looked good out there. He was really agile. Defensively, he was what we hoped for. And I was interested to see, again, this is all small sample size, it's one game, but really interested to see how he would fare with the Bucks defenders not helping as much and the paint being a little bit more open and it being more so on Brook's shoulders to defend the paint there, or in pick and roll actions for him and the guard to just be the only two there. And he did his job defensively. Like, he was there. Like, the 76ers absolutely got way more points in the paint than they probably would have against us last year. But his individual defense on Joel Embiid, like I mentioned earlier, like, that's a large part too as to why Joel Embiid wasn't successful. Brook Lopez didn't give him any space. Brook Lopez was playing great defense. Now, the 12 three-pointers, some of those threes, I would very much rather prefer that Brook Lopez takes more set shots where he's not necessarily moving his feet or fading away.
Or at least give it a little more time in the shot clock, too.
Exactly. Yes, that too. Like, I would love to see that part pick up a little bit. But defensively, he gave me what I asked for tonight.
Yeah, Brooke Lopez was absolutely incredible. And one of the reasons why the Bucks open up a season with a 90-88 victory. She's Camille Davis. You can hear her work on the Technical Foul podcast. Camille, I'm sure we'll be talking again next week and certainly on this show at some point in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. So she jumps off. Your chance to chime in on this Bucks victory as well. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us as the Bucks go to Philly, open up the season shorthanded, and beat the 76ers. More after this on Bucks Talk.
Come.
To 88 final in Philly. The Bucks open up the season with a win. The shorthanded Bucks, I should say, open up the season with a win over James Harden and the 76ers. And we say James Harden because James Harden was incredible tonight. 31 points, 13 of 24 shooting, took seven threes, only made one of them. And we'll get to that in a moment with this new look Bucks defense. How much of it do you buy into? But James Harden set his teammates up, 9 assists. Sixers as a team had 17 of them, 8 rebounds. He looked much more spry than he did in the second half, not just the second half, all of last season. He looked closer to that guy we saw in Houston. Looked the same way against the Celtics on Tuesday night, scored 35. Back-to-back 30-point games here for James Harden. But again, in that Celtics game, Joel Embiid was okay. Joel Embiid was bad tonight. And we spent so much time in the offseason. When you look at the Bucks, you look at the Celtics, you look at the Sixers. If you're a sicko, you can look at the Brooklyn Nets and for some reason buy into them as title contenders. But those were the main teams you spent time thinking about. And with the Celtics, the questions were, well, how do they respond to a new coach? What is Joe Mazzulla as a coach? How does this team respond to that? What about the front court? When is Al Horford going to start to look his age? How do they get by with no Time Lord for the first two or so months of the season? Do they have enough depth there? What is Blake Griffin going to give them? How does Jaylen Brown respond to those trade rumors in the offseason? Those were the questions for the Celtics. For the Bucks, can we stay healthy? And what does Joe Ingles look like when he returns at somewhere around the midpoint of the season? But for the 76ers, you had questions about Doc Rivers. You had questions about James Harden in the playoffs. And I think everybody said, well, can James Harden be close to what he was in Houston? Because if he is, with Joel Embiid, this is a scary team. Two games into the season, James Harden has shown us he is very close to that guy he was in Houston. Joel Embiid has been nowhere near the guy he was, the runner-up MVP in each of the last 2 years. And you look at the second unit for the Sixers, and again, these names may not jump off the page to you, and I've seen people push back when you say the Bucks, as constructed right now, are the deepest they have been under Coach Budenholzer. It's a similar conversation in that, man, it feels like we have this every year. The Eastern Conference is better. Yeah, it feels like we've said that a couple of years in a row now. We have, and it is, and it's even better this year. And it's not so much, well, the teams at the top are really, really good. It's 1 through 8, 1 through 9, all good, competitive teams. I mean, look at the standings and look at some of these teams where you talk about the Toronto Raptors, who have been the darlings of the analytics world. The Cleveland Cavaliers, that came out of nowhere last year, surprised everyone. Adding Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, this team's going to be pretty good. Look at what the Bulls did a season ago, and the Bulls with an impressive win to open up the season last night as well. The Atlanta Hawks adding DeJounte Murray. The Miami Heat, you can never sleep on the Miami Heat. Maybe the Knicks, they added Jalen Brunson. Everybody's afraid of the Nets, the Sixers as well. It's a really deep Eastern Conference, and it's those teams beyond the elite that have gotten better And that's what makes this conference so much more difficult this year, is there are no real easy wins. Pistons may be towards the bottom in the standings. They won the season opener. They will finish towards the bottom in the standings. Those aren't going to be easy games. We saw that last year against the Pistons. Playing the Magic isn't going to be easy. Paolo Banchero looks really, really good. There's only a couple of teams you can point to say, we absolutely have to win this. Eastern Conference has gotten better at the midpoint and close to the bottom, and that's what's going to make it tough on teams like the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers. There's not as many gimmies on the schedule anymore. But the questions we are asking here, with the Bucks, they're valid. With the Celtics, they're valid. With the Sixers, we may have an answer already on who James Harden is, but it now is, can Joel Embiid take his game up a notch? It's one thing to point out, man, I was really snubbed in Defensive Player of the Year. I was really snubbed in MVP. You got to put in the work, and you got to get better, and you got to show us why you were snubbed. Giannis does that. Kobe Bryant did that. All the greats do that. From Joel Embiid, so far we've just heard complaints. You got to see his game go up another level, and maybe that's conditioning. Maybe that's playing more around the basket. Transition defense is a big one there. And that's another issue we saw in this game. Not as much as we did on Tuesday, but we saw that once again tonight. You can get out and run against the 76ers because of what's anchoring them down there at the center position. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us here tonight as the Bucks open up the season with an impressive win in Philadelphia against the 76ers. That three-point defense we mentioned, how much do you buy into this? It was really good in the preseason. So far, one game in, I like what I saw tonight, especially with a guy like Brook Lopez on the floor anchoring down around the basket. How much do you buy into this new-look three-point defense? We'll dive into that after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks open up the season with a statement in Philadelphia. It felt like a game from the 90s. But this defense shines, and Jrue Holiday and Wesley Matthews save their best for last. Go-ahead three from Wesley Matthews on a beautiful feed from Grayson Allen. And the defense of Jrue Holiday, reminiscent of Game 5 against the Boston Celtics, where Jrue Holiday was a one-man wrecking crew on defense against Marcus Smart. He does the same tonight. James Harden really starting to take over, and we spent some time talking about just how good James Harden was in this game. He was fantastic. 31 of the 88 points the 76ers scored came from James Harden. 13 of 24 from the floor, perfect 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Before we round out that point, it's worth pointing out, the two things we spent some time highlighting and focusing on the pregame show prior to tonight's game were transition defense. It's an area that the 76ers were, frankly, just okay at best a season ago after they acquired James Harden. Somewhere around the midpoint in the NBA. Against the Celtics, they were horrendous. The Boston Celtics outscored them on the fast break 24-2. They had an offensive rating in transition of near 170. The league average is 113. James Harden's not known for his defense, and it's certainly not in the transition. If you're going downhill and you got James Harden and Tyrese Maxey in front of you, you're probably going to score. Joel Embiid, as good as he is not a transition player. You can't get back in defense when you're picking yourself up off the floor. That was a huge problem for the Sixers. And you looked at it and you said, Giannis, Jrue can get out there and push it. This should be a huge advantage for the Bucks. 17-14, they won fast break, but I think you expected more. And the 76ers were actually a better offense in transition than the Bucks were tonight. So throw that out the window. We said, well, free throws could be a factor. You had Giannis, you had Embiid, you had James Harden. Those were the top three guys in basketball last year in free throw attempts. Joel Embiid got to the free throw line 3 times tonight. James Harden got there 4. And Giannis got there 5. 12 total free throw attempts from that trio of players. Giannis and Embiid got there 12 times a game themselves a year ago, and just 12 total between those three guys. But you keep coming back to, this is a Bucks group that has been in this position before. And they've been there when the stakes are much higher than game one in an 82-game regular season. And that's what we saw in the final minute of this game. James Harden starting to take over with those 31 points. As good as James Harden was, it was the second half where he was absolutely deadly. In that fourth quarter, he scored 16 of his 41 in the fourth quarter. But as he was going, he was the guy that tied the game. He was the guy that put the Sixers in front by 2. They only led this game twice. 2-0, and that go-ahead basket very, very late. Drew Holiday's defense, when James Harden was rolling as much as he was, saves the best for last. Wesley Matthews hits 2 threes, saves his best for last. And we mentioned this with Camille Davis. You look at the minutes disposal here, Bobby Portis, really the only guy I think you can point to and say, well, I would like to see more minutes for Bobby. 23 minutes from Bobby Portis, 11 points, 10 rebounds off the bench, 5 of 10 from the floor, hit one of his 4 threes. Saw Bobby's been working out with lethal shooters, saw a little bit of a different shooting motion from Bobby. Probably not a great matchup with this Sixers team with a guy like Joel Embiid. You're not going to ask Bobby to defend him. Tobias Harris, he certainly has the wingspan and the length to stick with him, but you don't really want Bobby on the perimeter defensively for extended periods of time. So the minutes, I would chalk up to that. But 20 minutes from Wesley Matthews, that is probably ideal. Wesley Matthews is a guy whose importance is tenfold in the postseason than it is the regular season. George Hill gave you 20 minutes. Going to be curious to see how he's used going forward. Javon Carter in the starting lineup tonight, 22 minutes. And look, Javon Carter, you know, you looked at what he did in the preseason. And I know we mentioned that three-point defense for the Bucks we'll get to here. But you looked at that, you looked at Javon Carter, and you said, well, how much of this is real? What do I really take away from these two things? 5 preseason games that the Bucks played, they lost all of them. 2 of them you may not have really seen or paid attention to being played in Abu Dhabi. But Giannis played 2 games. Most of the regulars played just 2 of those 5. I'm not sure what to really take away from this, but what stands out is it seems like the Bucks aren't allowing a lot of threes, and it seems like Javon Carter's pretty good, huh? In the preseason, Javon Carter shot 47% from the floor, 52% on his threes, and he played in all 5 preseason games. Tonight, Javon Carter gave you 22 minutes, same pesky defense he always gives you, 4 rebounds, an assist, 2 of 3 from the floor. So again, efficient, 66%, 5 points. Javon Carter is a contributor, and the fact that the Brooklyn Nets gave up on a guy like this, you are more than thankful that Javon Carter is now a member of the Bucks. But that's why we keep saying this is the deepest team that the Bucks have had under Coach Budenholzer. We went through why it is the best the Eastern Conference has been and why we've said that year after year. But we keep saying, wow, this Bucks team is even deeper now. 3 years running, and they are. Bobby Portis, George Hill, Jordan Worrell, Wesley Matthews, Serge Ibaka played 4 minutes. You are 9 deep. You got production. Let's throw Serge out of it. He played 4 minutes. You got production from everybody that stepped on the floor. You got the defensive production from Drew Holiday. You got 22 productive minutes from Javon Carter. You got 12 points from Grayson Allen. Giannis and Brooke Lopez were the 2 best players on the floor for the Bucks all night long. 15 of 32 from the floor, 38 combined points, 5 block shots combined from that duo. George Hill, productive minutes for his 20 minutes of work, hit the only 2 shots he took. Bobby Portis gave you a double-double. Jordan Wara gave you 16 minutes. Wesley Matthews hit the biggest shot of the game. You were essentially nine deep tonight. You got production from all of them. And not listed in those nine names, Chris Middleton, Pat Connaughton, and Joe Ingles, who you know you will get production from. So that is why we keep saying this is the deepest the Bucks have been since Coach Mike Budenholzer has taken over here. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us tonight. It's the Bucks grind it out, open up the season with a win in Philadelphia against a team who knows they may see in the playoffs, but certainly one of the three teams that's gotten the most attention here in the Eastern Conference coming into this season in the Philadelphia 76ers. And we'll point it out again. You were certainly excited for the return of Bucks basketball. I wouldn't say there was tempered expectations, but I'm sure a lot of Bucks fans were thinking, I'm not really sure what to think here. Sixers lost their opener. They're going to be extra motivated. It's their home opener. And yeah, not having Chris Middleton, not having Pat Connaughton, those are two pretty big losses. This is a great win for the Bucks, considering all of that. 855-616-1620. A few calls chiming in. We'll hear from you after this as the Bucks open up the season with a win in Philly. We'll hear from you next on Bucks Talk. '90-88 final in Philly. The Bucks open up the season with a win over the 76ers. Giannis looked every bit the MVP. Brooke Lopez looked incredible. Drew Holiday with a fantastic defensive close on James Harden. And the shorthanded Bucks open up the season with an impressive win. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk. Let's head out to the phone lines, talk with Mike. You're up.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Good. Great to have Bucks basketball back. Think it's going to be a great year, and nice way to start off the season tonight. Not the most aesthetically pleasing game, obviously, working the rust off here in the opening game here, but again, say a Philly team coming off a loss, they're looking at home to rile up their crowd there and to spoil their home night. Very good win for the Bucks here, because Philly's supposed to be one of those contending teams, I suppose, in the East. I don't know, though, with a guy like Harden, I don't know how much you can trust in them, but nonetheless, as you mentioned just now, without Middleton and Connaughton, two obviously major factors of your team there, and to pull that out just tells you the greediness of this Bucks team. And you know, obviously Giannis is still the best player in the sport, and great as Embiid is, he doesn't like that matchup with Giannis, because he has nightmares dealing with him. And you mentioned Brook Lopez was pretty clutch here, and that's what I love about this team. The offense not going, they can just lock you down defensively, and the key factor is Holiday is the best defensive guard in the league for my money, and he proves it continuously, even when he struggled from the field as much as he did tonight. You saw there down the stretch there, Harden was having a pretty incredible offensive game, and he put the clamps on him down, and that was pretty much it there, along with Matthews hitting the pretty much game winner to put him in the lead there. So all in all, can't complain with the season opening win there. And to me, and I want to get your viewpoint, I think the Bucks, when fully healthy, which is a big underlying factor, obviously, for any team, I think they're the best constructed team. And we should expect them to be in the finals now. Obviously, you can't look ahead there. But I don't think anybody in the East scares me. Boston, give them their credit. They got us without Middleton. I think with Middleton, they the Bucks beat them in five. But I want to get your viewpoint on that, because I think it's going to be a great year. And not even the Warriors, if you know, willing to look ahead, and if they play them, scare me. So those are my thoughts, and look forward to a great season. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And I agree. Nobody scares me, but there's a handful of teams that are right around the same level. I think the Bucks and Celtics coming into the season, I felt, were the elite teams in the Eastern Conference, and teams like Philly, really just Philly were beneath them, and then you had another tier where you would lump in a handful of teams. Maybe the Brooklyn Nets. Maybe the Cleveland Cavaliers. But it was the Bucks and Sixers, the Bucks and Celtics, then the Sixers, then the rest of the teams. And, you know, my big takeaway is, yes, as long as you can stay healthy, for my money, this is the best team in the league. That we think about this. We are 47 minutes into this show. How much have we even talked about Giannis tonight? And that's one of those things I've talked about before. You get to this point where you really don't want to take him for granted, that it's just kind of, oh, yeah, well, Giannis was great again. But it was the case again tonight. I mean, his numbers might not jump off the page. We've certainly seen Giannis have bigger individual statistical performances against the Sixers than he did tonight. But tonight, Giannis looked like the MVP. 21 points, does that scream MVP? No, but 13 rebounds, 8 assists. He was very efficient. He had his first, 6 shots, I think, 9 of 16. Remember when P.J. Tucker, I'm not going to say was the Giannis stopper, but it was, oh man, Giannis has got to go against P.J. Tucker. Wasn't an issue. 3 block shots. He was everywhere, and he just let the game come to him. This wasn't, okay, I'm going up against Embiid. I got to score a lot. I got to show why I'm better than Joel Embiid. It was, no. I'm going to set up Grayson Allen. I'm going to defer to Brook Lopez. I'm going to make big defensive plays. Giannis was everywhere. And I think the Bucks and Celtics are the two teams that say, hey, as long as we stay healthy, I don't think anybody can beat us. The big thing for me is what we just talked about a couple of minutes ago. All this productivity, it may not be eye-popping. 38 combined points from Giannis and Brook Lopez. If you can get that on a nightly basis, you will not lose. 29 from your bench. It's certainly better than what we saw at times from this Bucks second unit last year. But 29 from your bench when you had to put Javon Carter in the starting lineup. You didn't have a Pat Connaughton. We're going to keep mentioning Joe Ingles. You're not going to have Joe Ingles for a couple of months, but think about that. You got production from everyone that played. And you didn't have 3 big names. That, to me, is the biggest case, the strongest case for why the Bucks can say, we are the best team in basketball. 855-616-1620. That's the number to get in touch with us as the Bucks open up the season with a win over the 76ers. More after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks beat the Sixers in Philly. They return home Saturday night, the home opener against the young Houston Rockets. We'll preview that game momentarily, but we got to spotlight the three-point defense as well. 24 three-point attempts from the 76ers tonight. They took 34 against the Boston Celtics on Tuesday. That 24 number, if it feels like it's half as much as the Bucks allowed to the opponent last year, it's because it's pretty close. Bucks gave up about 39 three-point attempts a game last year. They had a couple of instances of 40-plus. It seemed like it started to become a regular thing. Opponents hitting 20 or more threes became a regular thing as well. And the fascinating thing about not only the Bucks, but a lot of these defenses was, if you look at the teams that made the playoffs, it was teams that took away shots around the rim. That's how the Bucks had been constructed for years under Bud. Think about how much drop defense became part of your vernacular the last couple of years. Talked about, oh man, too much of the drop, and you're giving up too much in the mid-range. The Bucks took away everything around the basket because that is the easiest shot in basketball. It said, we'll live with the long twos. We'll live with the mid-range. As the years progressed under Bud, we saw more and more of, all right, let's try to push those mid-ranges out a little bit further. Let's try to take away a little bit more of those. And it ultimately reached a boiling point in the last couple of years where everything was pushed back to three. And they were living with a heavy dose of threes. Fine, we don't think you'll make a lot of them. That culminated in Game 7 against the Boston Celtics, where it was, go ahead, Grant Williams. We'll let you take as many threes as you want. We don't think you're going to beat us. And he did. And coming into the preseason, your big takeaway was, it seems like the Bucks are giving up fewer three-point attempts. They were. Last year, we mentioned it was around 39 a game that the Bucks gave up. Three-point attempts, not makes, but 39 a game or so that they gave up to the opposition. That was second worst in the league in terms of the percentage of shots that were three-pointers. 42% of the shots attempted by the opponents were threes. In the preseason, that percentage dropped to 31. It was basically 26, 27 a game is what they were allowing. 24 tonight. I think we can say this defense is real. This defense in terms of getting out on the perimeter and challenging three-point shooters. And it helps having a guy like Brook Lopez. Even if the Bucks wanted to, this wouldn't have been as easy to pull off a season ago. When you got Brook Lopez patrolling the paint, you can help out a lot more on the perimeter. So how this defense continues to evolve, individually, you know what Brook can do. You know what Drew Holiday can do. We've seen Wesley Matthews do it. We all love what Javon Carter brings defensively. We didn't see him tonight. I think everybody is excited to see what rookie Marjon Beauchamp can bring you defensively. Obviously, you know what Giannis brings you. But to see how this defense continues to progress against the three-point shot, that to me is what I will have my eye on the most this season. So very, very small sample size. I get that. But to drop the percentage from 42 to 31% of the shots by the opponent threes, to go from last year to the preseason this year, and now a Philadelphia team that added more shooting. George Niang can shoot it. De'Anthony Melton, especially in the corners, can shoot it. Daniel House was a 3-and-D guy with the Houston Rockets. Tobias Harris likes to shoot threes. James Harden took 7 tonight. Gave up 24 to the Philadelphia 76ers. Very curious to see how this three-point defense progresses moving forward. We'll wrap up the show and preview the home opener against the Houston Rockets after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
It's spooky season at the corners of Brookfield.
Come and cheer on the green and gold on...
Wrapping things up here on the maiden voyage of Bucks Talk for this season. 90-88 victory in Philadelphia. So the Bucks now head home. Home opener against the Rockets on Saturday night. That is a 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when our Bucks radio network coverage with Dave Kane and myself will begin. So please do join us for that one. And Bucks Talk to follow on these stations Saturday night as well. Giannis in this game, plus 13. The plus minus is not always the be-all, end-all and doesn't always tell the complete story of the game, but it really does when you look at tonight's game. Giannis, plus 13. Javon Carter was plus 3. How much did we talk about Javon Carter and Wesley Matthews? Wesley Matthews, plus 3. No one really had an ugly plus-minus for the Bucks. Drew Holiday actually had the worst at minus 6. Kind of matches the eyeball test. 2 of 15 from the floor, 0 of 6 on his threes, just 6 points. But the bench, and we talked about the productivity you got from that second unit. George Hill was plus 3. Wesley Matthews, plus 3. Bobby Portis, basically a wash. Same with Jordan Wara. Giannis, plus 13. When he was on the floor, the Bucks were dominant. When he left the floor, that's when the Sixers went on that run, late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter. James Harden was a plus 5. And we talked about, man, if James Harden's going to be this guy and Joel Embiid is the runner-up MVP, this is a scary team. James Harden has been this guy two games in a row. Joel Embiid has not been the runner-up MVP two games in a row, and he was a minus 10 tonight. So Giannis looks every bit the best player in the world. This Bucks defense, how much you could buy into them taking away the threes? Well, for one night only, it looks like it's legit. Just 24 three-point attempts from the 76ers and only five makes. I mean, when was the last time the Bucks hit eight more threes than their opponent and they only hit 13 threes? This, in every way, was a throwback game. The score, now the Bucks took 42 threes, but 13 made threes for the Bucks, just five for their opponent. Felt like a game you would find in the 90s, and that's the way this Bucks defense is built. So you get productivity virtually everywhere. You get an incredible performance from Giannis. You get a terrific night from Brooke Lopez, and now you just hope you see him out there on Saturday night, and this isn't last year all over again. And you do enough. You make enough plays down the stretch to win this game. Big win. Big win considering who you were down. Home opener in Philly. Game two of the season for Philly. And this is one of the tests early in the season that's a lot of inferior opponents sprinkled on that early schedule. Makes it even more satisfying that you're able to get this one shorthanded. Saturday night, the Houston Rockets come to town. And again, that is a 7 o'clock tip. So 6:30 is when our radio network coverage will begin. There's only one other game on the schedule tonight. That's in Los Angeles. Clippers and the Lakers. Clippers led this game by 16 points. It is now tied midway through the third quarter. Anthony Davis has 20. LeBron James has 14. Kawhi Leonard still just 12 minutes played in his return to the floor. So that's the only other game on the schedule tonight. Bucks back on the floor Saturday night. It's the home opener at Fiserv Forum. Bucks and the young Houston Rockets, as I mentioned, will be back after the game with more Bucks talk. In the meantime, if you need more of your basketball fix, the NBAM, a daily podcast we do to recap everything that's happened on that night in the NBA, you can find that on our Bucks flagship feed. Justin Pottinger producing the show back here in Milwaukee. My thanks to him. Bucks beat the 76ers. A big win to open up the season. We will talk to you Saturday night with more Bucks talk.